you can live out your MasterChef dreams. When you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Valentine's Day for Public Enemy number one. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
So I spent a couple years in Chicago, and I was very interested in what happened there, but I was never really in touch with like a lot of like the Al Capone, like everything in Chicago has like Al Capone's discs shop and like deep dish pizza and this suit, Al Capone's suit place and this road, Clark's, you know, like everything is very, has that identity to it, you know? Yeah. But I never like really got into it until I left. And then I went back to go on this ghost tour and they took us to this place, 2122 North Clark Street. Oh, and that was the place.
Wait, isn't like Second City or IO was on Clark Street?
Yeah, it's, I remember. Close to
okay.
That.
I've been to Chicago twice and for music-based reasons, so I never really spent much time there or whatever, but I know it's obviously.
It's very fun. It's a very fun city. It feels weird though because I'm from the Midwest, so it feels like home. So I never thought it was like as cool as a lot of other people thought of it because I just wanted to leave the Midwest so badly. Anyway, I spent a couple years there in Second City. But Chicago is especially known for being a huge gang mobster scene in the late 1920s. It was lawless. Like, it was like bootlegging in Prohibition era, gambling, prostitution. And really, who controlled all these things were the Chicago gangs, essentially. And gangs, too, who, looking at pictures of this era, they were all, like, dressed to the nines. They were very, very into like fashion.
And that makes it okay, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right? They seem respectable.
Yeah.
Respectable, but they have like machine guns in like their pockets.
Right. It's like a gentlemanly kind of, you know, crimes.
Exactly. So to commemorate Valentine's Day, we're doing our special Ghost Town version of that. And that is talking about 2122 North Clark Street, popularly known as the site of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Which is, I mean, one of the cool, I mean, listen, massacres are bad, but
massacres are bad. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, it's a hot take.
Yeah.
Sorry, is that controversial? But massacres are bad. Coolest name.
Really cool name.
It's
really
St.
Cool
Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, it feels like it's something that like some like, not like, like Blink 182 should have done like an album about it or something. Yeah. Kind of a
they song. Still can.
Yeah, I guess they still can. They still make music, don't they?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you trying to spread rumors that Blink 182 is on the skids or something?
I don't know. Or like I'm thinking of My Bloody Valentine. How old am I?
Well, My Bloody Valentine's a pretty very critically and cult-like respected band. I was never like a huge fan, but like the Loveless album is like a really popular, you know, and just it's one of those bands, you know what I mean? But Blink-182 is a different band.
Than that.
Yes.
Okay. We're all learning things in this podcast.
Yeah.
Woof.
And it was Valentine's Day. Is that like, because I'm married, and even before it was like, when I was dating, I was like, oh man, am I going to be, I hope I'm not dating around Valentine's. It's just so much pressure. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's a lot of pressure.
It's not even just like for, like, because I assume that the girl is like, you better bring me flowers. It's not that either, but it's like, you feel like both sides like, oh, I don't want this to be some awkward thing.
Yeah, and but I know- why can't we? I love it. I love it. I think it's so fun. Really? It's so like funny. It's just like candy and like heart shit everywhere. Yeah. It's like, I love like leaning into it, especially like, I feel like I'm the one that like makes a joke of like a second date where it's like, we're on a jumbotron. It's like, well, where's the ring?
Yeah. You know? I think you should put a rose in your mouth. And then put up all your dating sites with a rose in your mouth.
That's good. Yeah. In a robe on silk sheets.
Yeah.
That's very close to a picture I do have on my where I am in a robe.
But the sheets are just like 100 thread count.
Oh, garbage fuck
sheets.
Yeah. Garbage 150. Sheets. Ooh. It's actually one thread that I'm laying on. It's really not comfortable.
Well,
it's not good. But wait, what are you, do you have a good Valentine's Day thing you guys do?
No. I mean, for even for our anniversary, we just went out to dinner. Valentine's even like because Michelle.
Ate?
Yeah, I know, and I don't. Really almost, I never almost never go out to eat, but we did for that.
That's
and,
good.
You know, Del Taco's always open, so and my baby deserves it.
It was the week that I didn't have a shooting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think took a week off.
Everything for your princess, Michelle.
It was, but she's not really. You know, she's kind of a anti. You know, I mean, when it comes, and plus we're going to be doing like a bunch of traveling, and
it'll get romantic. On its own.
I know. I just think we're doing some traveling. I'm just saying we're doing some traveling. So we're excited about that.
That's fun.
Yeah. So what about you? I mean, do you have any active plans?
Okay. So I wanted to have a party, like an answer.
For anyone complaining about, we're talking about like dating stuff, this is on brand of this episode.
Yeah.
I know some people are
going
to be like,
oh. This is the one time, aside from Sweetest Day, which we have the Sweetest Day Massacre happening on that day.
Yeah.
So wait for it. This is the one day where I feel like I can freely talk about my dates, critics, and haters.
Yeah.
So don't tune out.
Yeah, don't tune out. Stay here, please.
Just stay with
us. We're happy to have you.
This will be short, I promise you, and not full of expletives. Anyway, I was going to have a party, like a weird... Because again, I love Valentine's Day. I do think like there's corny shit, but like I kind of love that. I fucking think it's like cheesy.
I think it's okay to like... You know, it's like a thing to be like, oh, this sucks. I don't like... This is corp... But it's like sometimes it's like, can you just have a good time?
Yeah.
For 2 seconds?
Can we just overeat?
Yeah.
On this occasion?
Yeah.
Together? No? Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to have a little party, like maybe a 90s alien abduction Valentine's Day party or like something themed and fun. But realistically, I'm not sure what's going to happen because I went on this really good date yesterday. And you know, it's good. And again, I don't believe anything on any dates because guys have told me everything on dates and it has no correlation to how they act later. But we were talking like we were texting like constantly and I don't do that either. And I don't think you probably would recommend that,
right?
You know, before you're meeting, you like text all the time because it's like, who knows until you meet somebody.
Well, then it becomes, then you're really in love with, or you're really infatuated with the texting portion and you meet the, you ever do, like there's people you know online, you're like, oh, what, and then you see them in real life, you're like, oh man, what
I know.
Do I say?
And that's what I'm writing an episode about attraction for the show that I'm working on. And science, like essentially sociologists are like, you will fill in the blanks with the profiles are strong when they have the least amount of information on them because you fill in the blanks. You know, like your imagination runs wild. But he was really funny and really smart and very attractive. And I was like, oh, I'm having fun. I don't know. Fuck. Maybe I should have fun. God forbid. But then we met and it was great. And it was just like everything. And I think like 30 minutes into the date, he invited me to hang out with him on Friday.
And his family.
His family was there.
He
flew them in.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. No pressure, though.
No pressure. It's fine. But I think we're hanging out on Friday, the day after Valentine's Day.
Nice. Whose idea was that?
His.
Yeah.
Right?
Which might be a good, I mean,
I don't
maybe.
Know. But I'm then sure. I'm like, what about Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I'm not good enough for Valentine's Day.
I'm already,
you know what, though, honestly,
berating somebody.
That's probably for his other stupid, boring girlfriend or
yeah,
wife. You know what I mean?
I know,
it's probably just
true.
For
secret family.
It's
yeah,
for his actual. Exactly. No, you're the secret. Why are you not the secret?
I'm not a fam.
But you'd be. Why would you be not be the secret? And his actual family would be the secret family. You're the secret.
Can we both be secret families, though?
I guess. Yeah, all right.
Something doesn't have to be public. But yeah, he's very attractive. And I'm always just like, God, why do you... I'm one of those people who's just like, I'm a troll. Why would you ever want to date me? Which I usually lead with, which is probably why I'm single.
Yeah. That's also your profile name. I'm a troll. Why would you date me?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though you're like, it doesn't, we don't fit that many letters. Yeah, 420, baby.
Yeah, so it's going well. I'm trying not to get in my head and fuck it up. All right. We'll see.
Well, text you today. Yeah. I did a, just to mention, I did an episode, and you know, I don't curse on the podcast, or I try not to.
Well, we need some balance.
But I was on it, but it's in the name of the show, but I was on my friend Nikki and Steve's podcast, Shit They Don't Tell You, or Shit They Forgot to Tell You. It's one of those long, but it's great. It's on CastBox. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. And we talk about, you know, we talk about the ghost town, but we really got into like, being like Nikki talked about being haunted. Steve had a story, and they were really creepy stories.
God, I'm so upset I missed it.
And they're huge skeptics too. Yeah. And it was really interesting. So definitely check that out. Yeah,
ooh, I will.
Shit they I'm trying to think of the acronym.
Shit They Don't Tell You.
It's Shit They Don't Tell You. I think. That's it. Yeah. So it was on that. Just check it out.
Okay.
But you know, what I was gonna say is at least you didn't or not planning on getting massacred.
We're back. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I'm not. That's a good transition.
Yeah,
that's
nice, right?
No, I'm not planning. I'm planning on getting the opposite of massacred.
What is that?
Just rebuilt. Living? Rebuilt.
Oh, okay.
It's a human.
Oh.
We'll see. Anyway, we're back. Bring yourself back out of my dating life into Chicago, 1929, February 14th at 10:30 a.m. So, again, seven men were murdered at the garage, 2122 North Clark Street. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Now, it was never officially linked to Al Capone. I want to say that right away, but everyone was like, yeah, it was Al Capone. He did this 1,000%. But this is not why he got imprisoned eventually for it. He was
tax evasion.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk a little bit about the end of his life, etc.
We'll talk about our taxes for a little bit.
Yeah, we were going to show you our taxes. We'll put them on the Instagram. That's too depressing, I think.
But you know what? I think if they did see that, they'd be like, we should probably donate to their Patreon, patreon.com/ghosttownpod for two bonus episodes a month.
And a full release of our taxes.
Yes, and full release of our taxes. People are like, well, you spent half the episode talking about Patreon, which is, unless you don't understand math, not true.
Yeah,
but that was about 30 seconds. So
how about that? Short and sweet. Yep. Patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
You got it. It only took almost a year.
Oh, I'm the best. Okay. So from 1924 to 1930, Chicago gained a widespread reputation for lawlessness and violence, as we talked about. Not coincidentally, this phenomenon coincided with Al Scarface Capone, who took over from his boss, Johnny Torrio, in 1925. Torrio was wounded in an assassination attempt in 1924 and retired to, like, deep Brooklyn. He was like, Chicago's too much for me. I'm going to go to deep Brooklyn where it's quiet.
Yeah,
you know? So use that when you're thinking about Chicago at this point. Yeah. Like, just crime-ridden. And again, Prohibition in 1920 greatly amplified this. All of the gangsters were bootlegging, and there were speakeasies, gambling, prostitution. And I want to tell you something, okay, just to give you like a heads up on how much Al Capone was worth at this time. I know we think like gangster crazy. He was estimated to make $60 million a year in the 20s. And his net worth in 1927 was around $100 million. In 1927. Yeah. Like, this guy, he was Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, he was all of the money. So, at 10:30 a.m. on the 14th, 1929, two uniformed policemen and two men with suits, ties, overcoats, and hats went into... Well, sorry, let me backtrack a little bit. The massacre was allegedly planned by the organization led by Al Capone to eliminate George Bugs Moran, and he was like the Northside gang guy. So they were taking people out one by one. And again, if you crossed Al Capone, you were just dead or like pretty close to it. He was ruthless in his ability to just like take out whoever he needed to take out. So the former boss of the Northside Gang, Dino Banyan, had been murdered by four gunmen in his flower shop on North State Street in 1924. After his murder, each leader of the Northside Gang was killed, again, systematically, and it was just like he was about to die. So earlier that year, Northsider Frank Guzenberg and his brother Peter unsuccessfully attempted to murder Jack McGurn, who was a part of Capone's gang. They were complicit in the murders of, and I love these names too, Pasqualino, Patsy Lajordo, and Antonio the Scourge Lombardo. Like,
so cool.
This is classic, like, mob, like Chicago, like Italian mob scene.
I think I'm going to watch. You ever see The Untouchables?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's one of my favorite movies.
I haven't
watched
it in a very long time.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch it again.
But it's so interesting, too, because I think you think of that being like more of a New York thing, too. But it was very real in Chicago. So those guys were presidents of the Union Siciliana, the local mafia, and very close associates of Capone. Moran and Capone had been vying for control of the Chicago bootlegging trade, and Bugs Moran had been moving in on Capone's enterprises. Moran was muscling in on Capone on a dog track in the Chicago suburbs, which would have been very cool to check out, and took over a bunch of saloons by Capone and like in his territory and like insisting that they were kind of his. So the plan was to lure Bugs Moran to the SMC Cartage warehouse on North Clark Street on February 14th, 1929. Happy Valentine's Day. Very romantic. The intent was to kill Moran and perhaps two or three of his lieutenants. It didn't really go down that way. It is usually assumed that the Northsiders were lured to the garage with the promise of a stolen cut-rate shipment of whiskey supplied by some gang in Detroit, which was also associated with Capone. But the Guzenberg brothers were supposed to drive two empty trucks to Detroit that day to pick up two loads of stolen Canadian whiskey. All of the victims, with the exception of John May, were dressed in their best clothes, which, I love that detail. They're all in their finest. They're Valentine's Day finest, and went to meet them at this warehouse. So on Valentine's Day, most of the Moran gang had already arrived at the warehouse by 10:30 a.m. Moran was not there, though, having left his Parkway Hotel apartment late. As Moran and one of his men, Ted Newberry, approached the rear of the warehouse from a side street, they saw a police car approaching the building. They immediately turned and retraced their steps, went and hung out in a nearby coffee shop. They encountered another gang member, Henry Guzenberg, as mentioned before, on the street, and that he turned back to. Willie Marks, also a Northside gang member, spotted the police car on his way to the garage. He ducked into a doorway and jotted down the license number before leaving the neighborhood. So, like, this is already, like, the plan was kind of breaking down. So Capone's lookouts likely mistook one of Moran's men for him himself, who was kind of a similar build. And that morning, the physical similarities were enhanced by their dress. Again, nice clothes. Witnesses outside the garage saw a Cadillac sedan pull to a stop in front of it. Four men, two dressed in a police uniform, emerged and walked inside. Two fake police officers. So there was like fake police officers and real police officers all around this warehouse. A bunch of scared gangsters in the corner because they saw the police officers, and a bunch that hadn't seen them that were entering the building. Reinhardt Schwimmer and John May, who was fixing one of the trucks, stopped inside, and then the police officers had them all inside of the warehouse and ordered them to line up against the wall, execution style. This is a very famous scene in mobster history. And actually, if you go to this place, you will see the chips in the wall that the bullets were. It's really, really great.
You know what it might be a good time for? A break.
Okay.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, chips in the wall.
Chips in the wall. We've got a bunch of mobsters lined up by another bunch of mobsters ready to stare death in the face. So the two police officers, quote unquote, signaled to the pair in civilian clothes. So there are four executioners, mobsters that work for Capone. So they had them face the wall, and then two of them opened fired with Thompson submachine guns, one with a 20-round box magazine and the other with a 50-round drum. I didn't know what that means until I looked up like how many bullets, and it was like over 70 rounds. Yeah. So they opened fired even after they were all dead, like on the ground, like done. They just kept firing. And you will see again, the wall is just like covered. It's still there.
It's not like something you see in movies where they just shoot them once and they walk away and the person still lives. They're like, you
no,
never
it's like
back.
It's like a rain of bullets for like 30 minutes. Yeah. So they fired. The victims included, the victims were George Bugs Moran's Northside gang. We got Moran's second-in-command and brother-in-law, Albert Kalachek. He was killed with Adam Hayer, the gang's bookkeeper and business manager, Albert Weinschenk, who managed cleaning and dyeing operations for Moran, gang enforcers Frank Guzenberg and Pete Guzenberg. Two collaborators were also shot, Reinhardt H. Schwimmer, a former optician-turned-gambler and gang associate, just part of the mix. Yeah. And John May, an occasional mechanic for the Moran gang. Two shotgun blasts afterward all but obliterated the faces of John May and James Clark. According to the coroner's report, over 70 rounds, like I said, of ammunition was fired. That's a lot of ammunition for, again, not that many people shot. So when the police officers finally, the real ones, finally entered the building and arrived at the scene, the men in the street clothes came out with their hands up. Inside the garage, the only survivors in the warehouse were Highball, that was May's dog, and Frank Guzenberg, who was barely alive, taken to the hospital where doctors stabilized him for a very short time. So when police questioned him, when they asked who shot him, Guzenberg, who had sustained 14 bullet wounds, replied, "No one shot me." And he died 3 hours later.
Wow. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's real, like, whoa, no, like, no tight
stitches.
Lips.
He's like, stitches, get stitches. No, but you are getting stitches anyway. I don't understand.
This is a modern miracle. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty, it's kind of a testament to, like, that culture, too, that happened. So, again, the guy that was supposed to be killed, George Bugs Moran, was on his way to the garage, and he missed getting killed by minutes. A few days later, he told reporters, "Only Capone kills like that." True. So then reporters reached out to Capone at his Florida home for comment, and Capone said, "The only man who kills like that is Bugs Moran." Like, really sending it back over to him. Though Moran and others vehemently blamed the massacre in Capone's gang, he claimed to be at his Florida home the whole time. And no one was ever brought to trial for this murder. For the murders, which is, again, very unfortunate. Again, but
and typical for, like, Al Capone, he's exactly. Kind of got away with a lot of things until he didn't get away with.
Exactly, which is also, I mean, I guess it's kind of like when we talk about the Wonderland shit, where it's like everyone's pretty bad, you know, like everyone kind of deserves it. But also, like, what about the families of the people, you know? Like,
but I mean, well, I mean, some people are, there's got to be some people that know, like, hey, you're reaping the rewards of taking mm-hmm. blood money. During a time where, like, you know, there's a prohibition, and then there's going to be, you know, the Great Depression's coming, you yeah. know, around the corner, stock market crash of 1929, you know, but yet you're somewhat flourishing, so they got to know that that's, like, blood money.
Yeah.
At some point, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. God. Anyway, in 1924, authorities counted some 16 gang-related murders, and this continued until 1929. Reaching a high of 64 murders in 1 year during that time. So things were like, and this is, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre was kind of indicative of the height of gang crime activity at that point. After that, everyone kind of locked down a little bit. Everyone kind of realized, because it's such a high profile thing, like one versus the other, it was so violent. The Valentine's Day thing was also, like, kind of romanticized in a way. Federal authorities, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, really tried to get Capone, and eventually they did. So Capone was public enemy number one, and after a couple of times in and out of jail, and then I believe one time he got out for good behavior after 6 months, and it's like, okay, I guess we're doing nothing here. Like,
he said, please. He said, thank you. Exactly. Excuse me.
He folded his laundry. Yeah. Like, he's a good guy.
Yeah, let this guy go.
Let him go. So the U.S. Treasury Department, as you mentioned, launched an investigation of Capone for tax income tax evasion through diligent forensic accounting. So again, keep your shit in order. Keep your affairs in order.
Talk about Elliot Ness now.
Yeah.
We're getting to Elliot Ness.
We are.
Oh, so good.
Oh my God. The IRS was able to put together a case, and in June 1931, Capone was indicted for evasion of federal income tax. Convicted in October, there was the huge internationally publicized trial. He was sentenced to 11 years in prison, first in Atlanta, later in Alcatraz, very famously.
I think he may have, and I might be mistaken, mm-hmm. and if I apologize, but I think he, because my brother was in Philadelphia and we were going to go visit a, mm-hmm. I think one of the prisons there Al Capone might have been at, or it's okay. a haunted prison. I'm not sure. But he did end up in, because we talk about it in the Alcatraz episode.
Yeah, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there for, he was probably its most famous member. Member, like, it's a club.
Well, it's a fame thing. Prisoner. Too. It's like, who's the biggest who's the biggest influencer at this
yeah,
thing, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
So he was released in 1939, and he died an invalid, like, recluse in his Florida home in 1947.
Of syphilis, baby. Speaking Ooh. Of dating,
and we're back.
Yeah, make sure you be careful, be safe out there.
We are bringing this full circle.
Yeah,
be safe out there.
Or you're gonna end up like Al Capone.
Yeah,
probably won't be syphilis though. I mean, I don't know if it'll be.
It'll be something.
It'll be something.
It's always something.
Yeah, it's always something.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.